So I'm continuing my exploration of the art world. And whenever I meet somebody who does things differently with spectacular success, I get really interested. And an example is the American painter Thomas Kinkade. The reason I got to know about Thomas Kinkade was that there are a lot of people from the traditional art world who say they quote unquote hate Thomas Kinkade. So I was like, what? How can you hate a painter? What does that painter do that is so, worthy of hate? And that got me to look further into Thomas Kinkade and his art. And what kind of art did he make? He paints idyllic scenery, landscapes, a lot of cottages, bridges, and other, I would say, peaceful motives. So in of itself, his art is not controversial at all. It's not provocative in any way. And that really piqued my interest. So today, we're going to dive into where he breaks or broke the rules of the traditional art world. So a little bit of background on Thomas Kinkade. He was born in 1958 in Placerville, California, in the US. He had pretty poor upbringing with his family and especially his mother living in a trailer. And I really just want to jump to what I think is the first really interesting point in his career. So at some point, Thomas Kinkade decides to actually start an art company based on his own art. And I think that's the first really interesting, I would say, move that he makes, because why doesn't he follow the traditional gallery path, I would say, and trying to get his work sold and try to get represented by traditional galleries and building his name in that way? I think Thomas Kinkade already knew by then that his art didn't particularly appeal to the traditional gallerists. So I think he already knew by then that the people, I would say, loved his artwork much more than what the traditional art world did. He had been painting and showing his painting as what I would describe as a local county fair. And he was very charismatic at that fair. He was like, he brought his easel and he was painting the surroundings, and that attracted a lot of people. And one of those people was a vacuum cleaner sales guy who's called Rick. And Rick was a selling genius. He was so good at selling vacuum cleaners that he had the kind of belief that he could actually sell anything. But Rick, he sees Thomas Kinkade at this county fair, and he thinks, okay, I can sell this guy. If I sell art, that's a brilliant product to sell. So Rick and Thomas Kinkade, they connect, and they decide, okay, Rick is going to be Thomas Kinkade's art representative and sell his art, and they start doing that. Then Thomas Kinkade, at another social event, he meets a business guy called Ken, and they all three of them decide to start an art company together. And basically, this art company becomes spectacularly successful. And the model is basically this: Thomas Kinkade, he paints 12 paintings a year. He spends almost all of his time painting these paintings, and these paintings are being reproduced at a huge scale and sold in different ways. And one of the ways is through the kind of a franchise system where people pay for the right to open a Thomas Kinkade gallery. So another part of Thomas Kinkade's business is a licensing business. And what's that? Well, it's basically this: Thomas Kinkade, the company, they partner up with different manufacturers of a lot of different stuff. It could be things like mugs and plates and furniture, houses, a lot of things. And then the company license the production company the right to use Thomas Kinkade's paintings in a lot of different ways. And that's also hugely spectacularly successful. So at some point, actually, this company which is called Media Arts Group at this point, they decide to get listed to become a public company on the New York Stock Exchange. And when I heard that, I was like, okay, here's an artist who could have chosen to paint these 12 paintings a year and try to sell them in galleries. He chose a completely different route, which actually ended up actually selling for more than $4 billion worth of paintings and art products over his lifetime. There is also a very tragic and dark side to this story, which is that Thomas Kincaid becomes an alcoholic, basically, and ends up dying too early in 2012. And there's a lot of drama involved in all of this, but I don't want to talk about that today. What I'm interested in talking about is which rules of the traditional art world did Thomas Kincaid actually break that makes the traditional art world hate Thomas Kincaid so much? I've sat down and thought through this a lot because I think it's very instructive to kind of think about what the traditional rules are and whether you would like to follow them or not, or when you would like to follow them and maybe when it would be beneficial for you to do something else. So the first rule in the art world Kincaid breaks is that art should be about questions and not answers. So what do I mean by that? You know, there should, you know, in the view of the traditional art world, there should be some kind of interpretation needed when you look at an artwork. It has to be unclear in a way. If there's no tension there, then it's not fine art. Then it's not real art. And I would say there aren't any questions in the art of Thomas Kincaid. It's kind of feel-good art. It's beautiful and cozy villages that makes, I would say, a lot of people feel really good. And another thing is, I would say a lot of contemporary fine art, it actually makes a lot of people feel stupid because they don't understand it. What is this? Is this art? I don't want, it's not pretty. I don't understand it. Should there be something about this that I understand, that I don't? Oh, I must be stupid. You know, generally, people don't like that. And I think because there were only answers and no questions in Thomas Kincaid's art, it was very popular with, I would say, the masses. But the art elite really didn't like it. The second rule that I think Thomas Kincaid broke is that his work was very sentimental. It was designed to make people long for, you know, better days, the past, you know, your childhood, a cozy fantasy world where there are no bad feelings, only good feelings. And I think that's not allowed in the traditional art world because there should be something else than only, I would say, good feelings and sentimentality in art. The third rule he's breaking is that he actually breaks or destroys the narrative of the starving artist, because Thomas Kincaid got really rich, and during his lifetime he had, you know, several houses, cars, and I would say a luxury lifestyle. Even though his company had financial troubles towards his death, when he died his net worth was estimated to be around $60 million. So he was definitely not starving. And I would say in some weird way, the narrative of the fine art world is that the artist should be starving, right? Because there's like a friction between art and money. And if you're artistic and if you do pure art, you cannot be rich, right? And Thomas Kincaid completely broke that narrative. And I think that's another thing that the art world that actually hate him for, because he wasn't starving, he was thriving, at least financially, in his life. The fourth rule that I think he breaks is that he doesn't need the approval of the art world to be successful. By starting an art company, Thomas Kincaid completely took matters into his own hands. So if he could convince people like to like and buy his art, he really didn't need any permission from the establishment or from the elite. And I think that also pisses the elite off when you don't need their approval to become successful. Now, I would say this question is nuanced, actually, when you look at it closer, because one thing that was really tormenting Thomas Kincaid and which was hugely painful to him was the fact that the traditional art world didn't accept him. So even though he was extremely successful in the way that he did things, he had a really hard time accepting that the traditional art world wouldn't accept him, even though he thought he was a great painter. He compared himself to Picasso, Cezanne, and other like brilliant geniuses. The fact that the art world didn't acknowledge him, that hurt him a lot. Now, the fifth interesting thing, his art has religious undertones, because it was no secret that Thomas Kincaid was a devout Christian, even though he was also, you could say, quote unquote, a sinner in his personal life. He was a devout Christian, and he spoke about Christianity and its values. And to a large degree, he used religion to sell his art. It made me think, well, does that violate a rule in the contemporary art world? I would say yes, because even though art is free and you can use whatever motifs and perspectives you want, I would say there is not a lot of overtly religious art in the contemporary modern art world. Let me move on to some of the reasons why I think that Thomas Kincaid was so successful with his art. I think the first thing is that his art is pure comfort, right? So if you're a person that appreciates comfort, you don't want to get challenged. You don't want to, you know, investigate things and, you know, take in new things and try to understand new phenomena and explore yourself. His art was perfect for you. It had a clear message. It was only about good feelings. It was very accessible. And I think that this is extremely important. It was very accessible. Because I think what's the case in the contemporary art world is that art is not very accessible. Now, the traditional space where contemporary art is shown is the white cube. And sometimes it's difficult to see what's art and what's not art. And it's very difficult to get access to buy art. And I think the fact that Thomas Kincaid's art was actually accessible, it was sold in shopping malls and other places where, you know, most of people actually go on a daily basis, made his art much more accessible. Another thing is that his art was affordable. So it was actually priced in a way that people could actually buy it. He had reproductions that actually cost around $1,000. So his art was priced in ways that made sense for people to purchase. So he had what he called the canvas transfer paintings. It was basically reproductions of his original paintings. And those were sold for around $1,000, and often they were highlighted by a human. So a master highlighter, he called them. They touched up the paintings, the reproductions, with real paint to make them more valuable, but still within the price range of a lot of people. The way that his company did things were that they had a lot of cheaper alternatives, like posters and other objects that you could buy, like calendars and a mug and a lot of other things that you could bring home with you, maybe for like $10 and upwards. And then you could save money, like to buy a real reproduction at some point for $1,000. So his art was affordable. Another thing he did, each year he would paint a new bridge, then he would and a new cottage and so on and so on. These actually created like collectible series of works that people wanted to buy, right? So maybe there was one bridge a year, right? You wanted to collect all the bridges. The last thing I wanted to touch on is that even though that Thomas Kincaid spent most of his time painting in the studio, he also spoke very well in public. And I noticed that he doesn't speak a lot about his technical abilities. He speaks about his childhood, about his family, about values, and how he would like to, you know, see the world develop, and how his paintings actually support that message. So the most important thing I would say about Thomas Kincaid for artists is maybe the right way for you is to start an art company and to go out and find one or two business partners that can actually do sales and marketing, and then you could do the paintings. Because this is actually a way of building a sustainable, it's not easy, but it's a way that you can build a sustainable business based on your art without having to need the recognition of the traditional art world. You don't need any permission to start one of those companies, and you don't have to do it all by yourself. And the reason that I'm mentioning this is that I think that there is an over focus on going the traditional gallery path. Well, there's nothing wrong with that path. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong about it. But there's also other ways of doing things. And I think Thomas Kincaid shows artists that starting an art company could also be a viable way of building an art career.